Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's get a preview of the 2021 Sabres season. Look at tonight's season opening tilt against the Washington Capitals. Our favorite noted jerk, Joe Yurden, joins us to talk some Sabres hockey. Joe, it's been far too long. How are you and yours holding up through the pandemic? And thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Hey, you got it, guys. Holding up as well as you can. It's getting a little boring hanging out in the apartment all the time. But hey, we got some good distractions coming up here.
Yeah, finally, first time since March, we've got hockey on the ice. How should we feel about this team, Joe? Because you see some moves, Hall coming in most notably. You see the new division, and you realize, oh, this might be tough. So where should Sabre fans be at entering tonight?
Well, think of the past few years where you'd look at, you know, the playoff setup where the top three teams in the division would get the playoff spot, and then you're fighting for a wild card. It's different this year. The top four teams in each division are going to go to the playoffs, but they're kind of in the same boat because you could probably pick out four teams right now and say that they should be playoff teams. But the Sabres have got an uphill battle, which I know nobody wants to hear that. It's the opening night of the season. But Taylor Hall brings a lot of excitement. He brings a lot of offense. He's great. Jack Eichel is great. Those are good reasons to be excited. Everything else, I mean, Rasmus Dahlin, I'm really excited to see what he's going to do this season, but there's still a lot of questions. There's still a lot of concerns. You know, some of the issues from last year, even though Jackson's don't bring up anything about last year, there's still some questions to be answered there. So we'll see what they can do. I think at the peak, at their absolute best, they can crack fourth. But at the worst, I think they're looking at their worst, I think seventh place is a possibility too.
Joe, being that it's a shortened season, how important is it going to be for this team to get off to that fast start the way we've seen, the way we saw last year, the way we've seen the last couple of years?
I think it's vital. The last couple of years we've seen how they've been able to like bank points early on and race out front and get into a spot where you're thinking like, all right, maybe it's finally time before the wheels come off in the second half. This time around, there's not really a second half to be had. Usually by that time when things start turning south, that's when the season will be ending this time around with a 56-game schedule. So if they can do what they've done the last couple of years, hey, maybe rattle off another 10-game win streak. We'll see. Maybe Jack can have another 17, 18-game point streak, and they can rally around that. That would be a huge benefit because banking points, I mean, it gets to be a tired thing to say, but if they can do that, boy, it would go a long way to help making things a little bit easier and help put pressure on some of the other teams in the division, because that's all they're going to play this year is it's all intra-division play. So if you can rack up those points early against those teams, boy, you're doing yourself a huge favor, because it's not like you're going to get points playing teams in the other divisions and the other conferences. It's not happening this year.
Yeah, everything counts double. Joe Yurden, our guest here in the sports bar. Jeff Skinner, is he really that much of a liability to be dropped to the fourth line? Or perhaps is this Ralph Krueger, you know, playing the mind game motivational tactic? What are your thoughts on Skinner and where he's at to start the season, Joe?
Well, based on last year where we saw him kind of stowed away on the third line and even occasionally the fourth line, or at least, you know, how the lines were used last year, It doesn't really bode very well. I mean, putting him with Riley Shahan and Curtis Lazar certainly doesn't sound like a scoring line to me. Shahan's a face-off guy. Lazar's kind of taking Johan Larsson's duties as an energy sort of defensive stopper guy. You can look at this in a couple of ways. You can look at it as an obvious sort of punishment to Skinner that maybe they don't like his defense and they tell him, like, hey, go play with these defensive guys and figure yourself out. Or you could look at it that maybe Ralph's trying to stagger out the offense for each line. I mean, Dylan Cousins is going to be playing with Cody Eakin and I'm forgetting who else.
Reader.
Tobias Reader. That's right. Too many. One of the other new guys there. But but those guys are going to be specialized use. I mean, at least as far as Reader goes, I mean, Reader's going to be a PK guy. But you get Cousins on that third line, he's an offensive guy. Skinner on the fourth line, he's an offensive guy. And then your top two lines are going to carry a lot of weight for the offense. So you can look at it that way. But the tale is going to be told in the minutes distributed and where he gets used. And if he's playing 10, 11 minutes a game, it's not good. I mean, $9 million a year to a guy that's meant to score 40 goals a year, and he's playing 10, 11 minutes a game, that's bad.
Joe, what about the training camp for Tage Thompson? I mean, we like Tage. We saw him here last year. We were devastated when we saw how his season ended last year. But he showed up at training camp, did he not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm big on him. Based mostly on how he played in Rochester, both going back to the Calder Cup playoffs in, was it 2019, 2018? Forget what that was. But how he played against Toronto in that series and at the end, when he got sent down that year and how he began last year, I think that he's poised for a big season. And I think playing with Hall and Eichel, boy, if he doesn't have a hot start, it'd be very tough to defend it. But I think he's set to be a big guy, both physically and on the score sheet. He's the guy that everybody's been waiting since that trade was made. Everybody wants to see him pop off, and I think this the time is going to do it. He offers a different skill set and ability from what Jack and Taylor can do, and I think with what Tage is possible, what he can do. I mean, he's got the great shot, he's got the big body. I don't know if they want to just park him in front of the net and wreak havoc, but he's also really great at taking the puck to the net in close. He's got really good hands, so I think this is a great opportunity for him. I hope he can cash in on it because he is talented. He can be good. I know fans have dunked on him repeatedly for not being as good as Ryan O'Reilly, but I don't know. I think there's only about 10 or 15 players in the league that you might say are better than him. So it's that kind of thing for him. But forget all that stuff. Let's see what he can do with these guys. If he breaks out, boy, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, geez. Had to be reminded, Joe, that it was part of that trade.
I know,
yeah,
I know.
Thanks. How about another guy that did not get traded? Ristolainen. You surprised he's still here at this point?
Yeah, kind of. I think he is too, honestly. I feel like we've had this conversation about him, 1,000 times by now. I think he's a guy that Ralph really likes. The organization seems to be dead set on proving themselves right for sticking by him, which, I mean, hey, I mean, they've only fired a couple of GMs that have had him. So, and that they haven't traded him. So, I mean, maybe Kevin Adams knows the secret sauce, but putting him with Jake McCabe in what Ralph's system is, I think is actually a pretty good move. I know people, same thing. People have ragged on McCabe for a while, but he had a really solid season last year. What worries me though, is if they play that pairing in number one pairing, minutes and roles and trusting them in all situations, that to me is an issue. I thought McCabe was great last year in a third pairing role. He and Joki Haru for most of the season was really solid, and using and deploying them in the right ways, I think that worked out really well with him. Putting McCabe at Ristolainen, though, seems to indicate they want to play him more minutes and put him in more situations. Probably going to be the top PK defensive pair, so we'll see how it works. I think you're putting a lot of pressure on those guys to get it done. Now, hey, if McCabe's evolved and he becomes a defensive shutdown, a full-time defensive shutdown guy, that's great. Plus, it might allow Ristolainen to loosen up a little bit offensively because that's where his strengths are, but Boy, I mean, we've seen six seasons of him already. We kind of know what he is at this point. I don't think there's any surprises there, but if he's got a surprise, maybe it's a positive and suddenly everything shakes loose, but it's really hard to stack that up against what his record has been so far.
Talking with Joe Yurden, some Buffalo Sabres talk here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Instead of talking about and digging up old Ristolainen stories and continuing to talk about it, let's talk about some of the new faces, Joe. I mean, we got Cousins now looking like he's going to be on the third line. We got Jack Quinn. I'm curious as to how their training camps went and what the plan is specifically with Quinn through the course of the season here.
Well, I think with Quinn, it's his stories that they don't really have a place for him. I mean, they can put him in the lineup, obviously, but I think in the ideal world is that he would go back to Ottawa in the OHL, and he would play his season out and go about things that way. With the OHL not starting up for another month, maybe, that's tough, and you don't really have a place for him. They can play him in Rochester at some point. There is an agreement in place that, you know, guys that would go back to junior hockey can play in the AHL until the CHL starts up. So maybe see him in Rochester soon. I don't know. If they want to get him games, I think that's the best way to do it. But other than that, put him on the taxi squad, let him practice with these guys. Just get him some ice time that way and let it go. I think with Cousins, he's in that weird tweener age where he wouldn't be allowed to go to the AHL. So he would have to be NHL or CHL, or that's it. I don't think they want to send him back to junior hockey. I think he's kind of proven himself there. I mean, he was co-MVP of the WHL last season. I don't think there's too much left to prove at Lethbridge. Playing him in Buffalo is the right thing. Is he going to play every game? I mean, we'll see what happens there. But I think we're going to see that kind of rookie cautioning, where he'll play a game, maybe sit for a couple, play another game, sit for another. Obviously, with Gergensen's injury, he's out for the season after his hamstring injury. That kind of opens things up a little bit in that regard, but they've kept enough guys around on the taxi squad to be able to kind of play with the lineup and do what they want to do, whether it's Asplund or Mittelstadt. But Cousins is obviously the guy that they're the highest on. They're going to play him on the wing. He'll probably get to do some face-offs occasionally just to get him going and get him fitting in. I'm really excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, Joe, I'm glad you brought up the taxi squad because we're kind of all curious on how this is all going to look from the Rochester perspective. The Amerks open up camp on Friday. Should we kind of expect a glorified Cincinnati roster here in Rochester, so to speak, knowing that they're not available? You mentioned Mittelstadt, Asplund, Borgen, I believe, the taxi squad. Is that going to be a fluid situation where these guys will come down to Rochester to play some games and go back up? Or how is that all going to work, taxi squad and Rochester?
I think that's going to be fluid because I think for a lot of those guys, you don't want them just kind of sitting around idling. I think you want to get them games. I think that'll bear watching more with the waiver wire on occasion. But I think those guys, you know, whether it's – I think it's Davidson is one of the new defensemen. And, you know, Asplund and Mittelstadt, I don't think you want those guys just kind of sitting around and just watching games from the press box. I think you want to have them staying game ready and in game shape. Now, does that mean sending them to Rochester for training camp? I don't know, maybe. That all depends on what Seth Appert wants to get done with his squad there. But you're right. There's going to be a lot of Cincinnati guys there, given that Cincinnati's not playing this season. In the ECHL. So, I mean, that's good from a depth perspective, and it will help out with the taxi squad kind of weirdness. But as far as getting these bigger name guys there, I think that would do, I mean, it would do Rochester a lot of favors, obviously, to have them in the lineup. But as far as getting them games, I think that's going to be a big part of it because you can just kind of swap guys in and out. I mean, CJ Smith, you could probably switch him in and out with that taxi squad as well. Just to make sure you get games for guys, but it's gonna bear watching. I know Amherst fans get very grumpy with how the Sabres handle stuff in general, and I think this taxi squad stuff could be another reason to kind of shake your fist at them.
Joe Yurden with the Sabres preview the night that the Sabres get their season underway, their 2021 campaign against Washington tonight at Key Bank Center. Joe, what about Linus? What kind of a training camp did he have? Carter Hutton getting the start and goal tonight.
Yeah, the goaltending is going to be really interesting. I suspect that Linus not starting tonight might have more to do with his history against Washington than anything. But But I think they kind of want to get Carter Hutton off to a good start, because they're going to have to rely on both of these guys a lot with how tight the schedule is going to be. You can't really have just a solid number one situation where a guy, a number one goalie would play, 70-75% of your starts. If you try to do that this year, your goalie's going to get really tired really quick. Now the Sabres don't really have a situation necessarily where they have a solid number one. I'd say Ullmark is that number one guy, but they've liked how Hutton's performed in camp. That's a positive. But to me, he can't be the guy that you're really banking on. But this could be the kind of season where whoever's hot the hot hand's going to stay on as much as they can. Given the sports science part of things with rest and relaxation and whatnot, they've got Jonas Johansson on the taxi squad there as well. But I think Linus is going to be the guy that's going to get most of the starts. I don't think I'm taking too big of a risk in saying that, but it's an important season for him. But a lot of their success is going to depend on the PK. The PK made both goalies suffer terribly last year, Linus in particular. But as far as how this breaks down, I mean, they both need to be better. I think Linus played great at 5-on-5, but let's get the PK thing figured out, and then I think the goalies will get it done. But if Linus can't carry the water this year, I think they're in a lot of trouble.
Are we to assume that the GM position of the Rochester Americans was eliminated? By the way, Joe, I'm Danger and I both, and I can speak for him, very happy to see Randy Sexton land a job in Minnesota. But I'm just wondering, is that one of those jobs, the positions here, just kind of went away now that we're less than a month away from the start of the Emmerich season?
Yeah, it certainly seems to feel that way, doesn't it? I think a lot of those decisions are coming from Adams and coming from the consultation of the inner office staff, whether that's Ralph or the rest of the coaches there or not. But it's weird. It's weird to not see an assistant GM or a GM for your farm team. This happened when Tim Murray was in charge, and Tim was kind of running everything. And I think the biggest thing he did was that 12-player trade with Binghamton, the one season. Where they basically traded half of each other's starting six to the other team, but this is a little bit. I mean, I guess it's a little weird given that it's a rookie GM in the NHL, and they keep kind of passing the buck whenever they get asked about whether there's going to be a an assistant GM coming in or not. But I don't know. It's weird, and I'm still of the mind that I'm surprised that the AHL season is actually going to happen. I've been kind of holding my breath thinking that it wasn't. I'm glad it's going to happen, but it's still weird to not see somebody kind of running the show there. I guess it's a little easier because you don't have to worry about ECHL management in that respect, because you can just throw everybody into the boat and say, all right, coach, you can figure it out. But that's a lot to ask of your first time AHL coach, Seth Appert, too. So, yeah, I don't know. It's just strange. It's just really strange, man. I can't quite figure it out. I would have thought that for having rookie people in charge of all this, that you'd have as many hands in getting a handle on things. But I don't know. I'm not the billionaires in charge. So it's a little out of my hand.
Joe, I'm going to ask you a question that nobody has the answer to, but I think it's worth bringing up because you brought up you said something interesting to me there about, we hope there's going to be an AHL season. You're in Buffalo. The college hockey scene out there, Canisius is on pause. Niagara is on pause. In Atlantic Hockey now, Air Force is out. Bentley's out. Here at RIT, can we play somebody? I guess my question is, the protocols when it comes to the highest level of sports, they're in place. Should this be kind of concerning for the AHL and every other league that this is happening in some pockets right now in college hockey that maybe the protocols aren't in place?
Yeah, I was mostly concerned for the AHL because, especially given that there's, five teams in New York State, and New York State's rules are still pretty tough. The AHL is such a gate-driven league. I mean, even more so than the NHL is. I mean, NHL needs ticket ticket costs. I mean, Gary Bettman said even the other day that the easiest way for us to save money is to not play, but we can't do that. And the AHL, I mean, geez, it's so hard to operate on your own. I mean, the Amerks at least have the Pegula's backing so that they can sort of shoulder that weight. And I think of teams like Chicago or Hershey where they're kind of flying, you know, they have that affiliation backup, but they kind of fly solo. So I can't imagine how easy it is for them. And I mean, we've already seen a few teams decide that they can't play this year, whether it's Milwaukee or Springfield and a couple others. So, but yeah, it's going to bear a lot of watching. I mean, we're seeing already with the NBA. Everybody thought the NBA was going to be okay with this, and already we're seeing tons of games postponed. But the NBA schedule, they only put out one half of the schedule to put it out because I think they kind of knew that stuff was going to happen. You know, NHL's gone full boat. They said, nope, this is their schedule for the year. We'll figure it out as we go. The rules are a little stricter on the road and all that for the NHL, but I mean, we've already seen it. Dallas has, what, 16, 17 guys that tested positive? Mm. So it's going to be really hard. But when it comes to the AHL, man, if the team has an outbreak, that's going to be really tough because think of how they travel. Think of how they get around. I mean, how many buses are you going to have to take to a game now? You can't just stuff everybody onto one bus, can you? I mean, you have to almost take two for the road trip. So it's going to be really interesting. And I do worry for it because I think the good thing for the AHL, though, is that their game schedules are a little bit more spread out. Mostly on the weekends. Don't really have to worry about games during the week, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be really difficult.
Hashtag hire Joe Yurdin. Get this man.
Thank you,
get this man a job covering the Buffalo Sabres. You're the best out there, Joe. We really appreciate you giving us some time today to break this down for us, get us prepared for the 2021 season. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you real soon, bud.
Hey, you got it, guys. Take care.
You got it.
Joe Yurdin.
Noted jerk.
Well, I mean, I'm ecstatic that, you know, GR brought back Paul Hamilton. Shouldn't the Athletic do the same for Joe Yurdin? You would think. Sabre season's back. I don't know. But he'll find an opportunity. You just heard there. That is a really good Sabre insider. Joe Yurdin, our guest.
All right. How do you feel about the Sabres and their prospects of 2021? You feel any better after that conversation?
To bring up the O'Reilly trade, like, no, 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 no.
454-ESPN is the ESPN Rochester wingman line, 454-3776. Yeah, if you have takes on the Sabres, love to hear them. Carter Hutton gets a start and goal. And as you probably have heard by now, Jeff Skinner, the guy that you're paying $9 million per year, yeah, he'll be on the fourth line. Washington, the opponent tonight from KeyBank Center, 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have it here for you on ESPN Rochester. Next in the sports bar, we've got some takes on tap, Gino.
Okay, so here is my take. This guy, by most football people, is held in high regard as a head coach. I personally think he's terribly overrated and should have been fired this year.
Mm.
Which guy, for some unknown reason, gets a pass and we never talk about his status? I'm going to play you a piece of audio that I think is the dumbest quote of the year that will rest my case on.
Okay.
Also, something interesting from the show yesterday, when the James Harden story broke, Danger, we had somebody write in that said, the NBA sucks, which... You're getting more and more reaction like that, but I want to talk about leagues that fans enjoy the most, but which ones kind of draw that sort of reaction now here in 2021.
Okay. I have a Steelers take. Steelers fans, I'm going to want you to validate me on this one. And I have a non-sports take today. My non-sports take, it's really more of a simple wish for 2021, something that I wish would stop happening, but it continues to happen, and it's a ongoing frustration. I'll explain. And I'll drink to that. It's on the way next in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.